We only have an hour together, and I have a reputation that none of you already know me, right? I can speak and talk and talk and talk, and you will get tired, and you will want to leave the room and smoke your cigarettes, and maybe you'll want to go to the bathroom or get your coffee or whatever. I know that you'll want to come back to the room, and I'll still be talking. Well, I'm not sure I heard all of you laugh, but anyway, my name is... That's better. Okay. Michael P. period. Ralph. I was born and raised in Philadelphia. And this is the first time I've had the opportunity to come to the wonderful state of Washington. I've seen mountains, yes, but not like this one. It's very beautiful, and I understand why people want to come to Holden Village. Mm-hmm. My training is as a psychologist, and specifically school psychology with deaf children, ages elementary through 0 to 14. And I also work in Outward Bound. Outward Bound, we will sign OB, Outward Bound. It's really kind of new to me, but I worked there in the summer, and recently, for the last three summers, we just finished a 22-day long course, and it was a challenge course, and we had to carry, Maine. I'm warning the interpreters, if you don't know something, I will move really, really close to you. Don't be afraid. I'm a very friendly bear. Well, let me think now. Anyway. So now I'm not so nervous. Okay. There are many, many times that I'm in front of an audience and I'm speaking and I know I'm nervous. And I wonder, how can I say something like, go to the bathroom before I come here? I have to remember that. So if you see me, that I leave real quick and I go down the hall, I'm going to the bathroom. Yeah. Okay. And if I don't go out and go to the bathroom and I say, I have to go to the bathroom, something's really wrong. Because there's an audience here, and I want to relate the topic to you. It's got to be real relevant to you. So I picked a topic, and I was thinking, how do I pick this topic? I have to be honest and outward bound. let's see, about 3 years ago, in October 1989, I was doing a rope course, and I was working with my students at Outward Bound on this rope course, and it was really high, about 70 feet high. Mm. Okay? And you have to understand that the log is stretched out across like this, and then you have to climb up and then step on the log, and I'm standing here, and the students are down below, and one student, B-E, did you get it? I didn't
beginning?
When they're figuring out how to get up on the log, they have a harness around themselves, you know, and so they,
Carabiner,
thank you. And they are down below and they're hoisting themselves and managing themselves up so that they can fall and figure out how to fall safely. Okay, well, I'm standing up here on this log, and you understand I was about 35 years old at the time. My students are about what, 14, 15? And I'm standing up here, and my right leg, oh, let's see. Can you see over there? Okay. my right leg kind of twitters like that. And I couldn't get it to stop. It would just go shaking and shaking. And so I'm breathing, you know, slowly, and it refused to stop. And the student looked up, and he was laughing hysterically. He thought it was really funny. And he thought then it was like my third time I was on this rope course, and it was his first time, and it took him about 40 minutes. 40 minutes. There are different elements to figuring up in the climb, you know, different things you have to do with the wire and different aspects of the climb. And this was the third time I'm doing it, and this is like his sixth time. No. This is your third, okay. Oh, I was the third person, excuse me. I was the third person doing this, and the student was going to be about the sixth person to follow. And so he couldn't do it. But I had to trust. And here it was, I was walking, and I was screaming at the rope, you know, and I could feel that rope, yeah, and I was going to hold that rope real tight. And then, you know, I could feel like I was going to fall, but I was going to be safe. But I was kind of afraid of falling, and I was really afraid of falling, and I was just sweating, perspiring all over because I was going to fall. I just could feel it. And then after working several more outward bound courses, I could see other people in the courses really fearful of rock climbing, scared of jumping 12 feet down. You know, it's just but they were scared, just really scared. And I got to thinking about this as I was watching all of these events happen. And well, when they asked me to come here to Holden Village, I thought of different topics that I could select. And I was thinking of fear. How would fear relate to this group? And group dynamics. So I was thinking, fear is like a window. No. Open, excuse me, right, window, better.
Better wall.
A barrier. Well, it's something you have to get through, you know. It's like, you want to take over? Okay.
That's cute.
That's how I came up with the topic, after watching all of those people and real thinking about fear and group dynamics. And what was the last?
Foe.
Fear as foe. There we go. Friend and foe. Got it. And so what I would like to do now is have a vote. Not raise your hand. I'm going to ask a question. Who feels and thinks of themselves as a fearful person? Or do you think fear is friend or foe? Okay? So don't think about it. We're just going to raise... Oh! So don't think about it. Just raise your hand when I ask if it's friend or foe. Okay? I want a reaction, you know? I don't want you to analyze it and get it all complicated. I want you to keep this simple now. Okay, so how many people here think fear is your foe? Raise your hand. Fine, that's great. And sometimes I have a bad habit of, what do? I pick on people. I'm sorry. Yep. I pick on people. So if I ask somebody, let's see, who can I pick now? You know what this means? I'm going to pick on you. Okay, how many think here that fear is your friend? How many?
Question again?
That how many think that fear is your friend? Can we vote twice? She said no.
Yeah,
Okay, it seems more people here have picked fear as a foe than as a friend. And that's fine. And during our discussion, we'll vote again at the, toward the end. Okay, and then you'll get to vote again, okay? Versus, this isn't related to fear, but one time when I was given a presentation, I was the deaf person in front of a hearing audience, just as if I were a hearing person in front of all deaf. Like these two women, the interpreters, name is, excuse me, don't tell me, it's Grace. And this is Joe. And I want you to know they're very important here. Sometimes you would even not even think of them being present here and that an interpreter isn't really needed. But in my important, they are very, very, in my view, they are very, very important. Okay?
I'd like to explain my, let me see what time it is. I'm voicing now. It's very important.
Thank you for letting me know that. It was very important for me to know.
Anyways, I'll look over at this interpreter now. Voice. I really enjoy fellowshipping with interpreters. And I enjoy interacting with the audiences too. Where was I? Explaining about what I'm going to do with. I'm sorry. I'll have to do it one more time. I'm deaf. You see, I use my hands. They're very quite small. Let me compare a little bit here. See, if we're comparing fingers, I can't see. First, they're quite a bit longer.
She beat me.
So when I do finger spelling, it's kind of hard to read my hands. Difficult to read my hands, but what can I do about that? So you have to excuse me. When the interpreter asks again for clarification, I might have to do it a couple times.
Because I'm handicapped. I'm small hands.
Format. Losing my train of thought here. When I'm thinking about what we're going to do here, let me explain about, I'm talking about fear a little bit, the definition of fear. How many believe, like a lecture, you know, how many people.
You know a lot about fear, so I'm sure you really don't want a lecture about fear, a sophisticated lecture or presentation. You know, I have credentials. Mm-hmm. But related to fear, I have nothing. My only credential is that I had that shaved head. That's my only credential. And sometimes, you know, at the end of a meeting, there's not really any conclusion, except for, all right, we have the experience, all individual experiences, you know, and you have brought your experiences about fear, and they're all different, and you have brought your experiences here, and that's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. We all are human beings. And it's very, very unique. In all of our upbringing, it's very unique. And we have our different backgrounds that we bring together. And also this topic, I'm going to read you some quotes, some passages. And when I do that, I'm going to voice. And those two interpreters will sign. And the reason that I haven't yet had time to look at the quotes, the passages, and analyze them exactly so that they can be expressed best in sign language. So I'm going to trust the two interpreters to make those presentations a little bit better because they will be able to hear the words and change them into ASL for me.
Okay. Are you afraid? Are you afraid?
Sometimes.
Sometimes, okay. What's your definition of fear then?
Not knowing.
Not knowing. Okay, that's your...
That's a good one.
What's your definition of fear?
Something that makes my stomach churn or makes me my palms sweaty or makes my heart beat fast. So I get a physical reaction when I fear something.
Okay. You.
Being alone.
Whoa. How about you back there?
I think it's the unknown.
Okay. How about you?
A challenge. I don't feel capable of a challenge. I don't feel capable.
Okay. Fear, I'd like to ask you.
How many of you are afraid that I'm going to ask, call on you now? That's good. That's good. That's one thing I like about presentation is that I can pick on people.
A quote from a philosopher.
Politician.
All of you, let's say you're in a room and you have to give reports.
Oh, yeah. The news reporter.
Oh, news reporter.
Response.
News reporter. If I were a politician in a room and you were a news reporter, you'd be picking on me. So, you reversed. But I was thinking in my mind, well, what's going to happen in some definitions of fear or physical reactions here? You know, the sweaty palms, the churning stomach, the sweats, the beating heart, the hard breathing. It's not a really nice feeling, is it? It really isn't. That leg shaking, that was not a nice feeling. And my whole arms died. My whole arms, they just died. I couldn't have any response. It was a terrible feeling. That was fear. And so I'm going to share with you another explanation of fear, a definition now, 1 hour ago in the library. I thought it was really important that I take advantage of the Holden Village Library. And so, the definition of fear, a distressing emotion caused by a dangerous, I couldn't see that, a dangerous what? An evil, and it's uncomfortable threat that's real, imaginary. Another definition was a feeling or condition of being afraid. The third one, didn't get it all.
You don't get one piece, so you don't have.
You know, the dictionary is a really bad thing because it has all this jargon word and just carries on and on with explanation, layered on explanation, layered on explanation. Okay, so the real definition is really high, of heights. Okay. Fear of drugs? No. Needles. Shots. Fear of dogs. Fear of men on the phone, on the TTY, you know, the deaf phone, you know, I'm nervous and I have to type on it, so I'd rather hang up. Yeah. What am I going to do? And again, I take the phone off the receiver and I dial my number and I connect it with my TTD and I hang up. I can't do it. Can't make the call. Some people know what's going to happen and they think about, well, I'm going to ask a girl for a date. And I'm scared. I'm really scared. Maybe the girl's going to say no. Or maybe the girl will say, oh, no, that nerd. Think I'm going to ask me for a date? And another concern that causes fear, and it happened to me a few times, concern about someone's safety or someone's health. How many of you, you have parents or friends that are close to you who've been in the hospital? And you're very, very concerned, you know? Yeah. And it's not a friendly feeling. Or you hear about a car accident, and you wonder if they're alive or not alive, you know? Fear. And another one, this one's new to me. God. How many of you are afraid of God? No one here is afraid of God? You mean to tell me that you can go in to a house and 12, no, not a 12-year-old. Let's put a 7-year-old. A 7-year-old, and is going to steal some cookies, you know? And you don't think that 7-year-old's afraid of God? No, come on. Well, okay, maybe that was a bad one. Forget that one. Okay, I'm finished with definitions. And now I'll go on to the passages. This is the book.
Hurricane.
Thank you.
Hurricane.
From Hurricane Island over Outward Bound School. Thank you. Thank you. Many times we use readings. Suppose you're getting ready to go on a climb. And we have the students in a circle, sitting down. And then we have somebody reading a quote or a passage. And then they contemplate. They contemplate about what the experience was, and then they have to write about it. Or they contemplate an experience, and they write about it. And you'll have to understand that this is a hurricane school is very, very renowned. Haven't you ever heard about it? You have? The climbs? Have you ever climbed yourself? Rock climbing?
I have rock climbed. No, I get to read.
You understand that I don't know what I'm going to do next. I thought I was going to do some readings, but I've changed my mind now. I'm not going to read this, so I'm going to ask him to do it, if that's all right with you.
Fear is one of the countless sensations felt by the climber and which, combined with others, gives him the reason for his existence. Beware if you do not experience fear in the mountains. Not to do so would mean that one was devoid of feeling and no longer able to experience the supreme joy of knowing that one has mastered fear. Mountaineering can indeed be more dangerous than any other human activity, but if one comes to the mountains carefully, prepared, and observes reasonable prudence, it becomes something far different from mere foolish recklessness. In the mountains, as everywhere else, there is always the unforeseen, which may lead to tragedy. But this does not mean that mountaineers are doomed to death. On the contrary, they are amongst those with the most zest for life. They want to be as close as possible to nature, skimming the outer fringes of life itself to savor the delight of living intensely, but always careful not to exceed the limits of their skill.
Thank you very much. You did a good job.